Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Here we are, 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well on this cloudy, foggy morning here in Ledger, the radio capital of the world. Hope everybody's doing well. The Mystic Garlic Festival is going on at the Old Mystic Village this weekend, so go on down and see my friend Fred, who is selling children's books in front of the Norwegian store. And don't tell my wife, because every time she goes in that Norwegian store, she buys something, because she's Scandinavian and loves, I think it reminds her of her relatives and whatnot. Hope everybody's doing well. Interest rates pumped up the 10-year over 3% this week, so interest rates climbed a little bit. I think the economy is doing very, very well, although you would never know it by listening to people out there. Some of the things I want to talk about is some of the people have been coming in my office, some of the things going on. If you'd like to go to my website, obrienretire.com, you can get my retirement 10 commandments. And if you'd like to call into the radio show, it's 860-464-9490. In any case, you know, one of the things you got to figure out on the investment side, and I say this to the fellow professionals in the industry, and I use the word professional very loosely, as well as people out there, civilians, I call them, in the regular world. One of the key questions I have to figure out is whether you're clueless about investing or you're one of the savvy ones in investing. And to be savvy about investing, you have to have read a 10K or a 10Q. So that makes it about one-tenth of the population that truly knows the ins and outs of it. It's like anything else in the world. You a good carpenter? Are you a good plumber? Are you a good mechanic? Are you a good architect, a good teacher? You know, and I know, it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become really good at anything. And that's 40 hours a week for 5 years, okay? So when I say clueless, I don't mean that you're dumb. I just mean that you haven't had time to spend on it, okay? So don't take that, make it wrong. I usually know within 30 seconds after you come in the office whether you're one or the other. The key is, if you're clueless, is to know it. Then you have hope, because you know, listen, it's not my area of interest. I need help. Please help me if you can. Okay? If you're clueless about savings, spending, and investing, and do not know it, then we have a real problem. Okay? Like the lady came in several years ago and had a lot of credit lines and just was swabbed in debt and didn't know she had a problem or was denying it. And then if you marry someone who's just as clueless and unaware as you may be, then we have a divorce. And I can almost guarantee, unless one of the sets of grandparents, parents are wealthy and bailing you out on a regular basis, chances are you'll be divorced within a couple of years. Because if you're both clueless, then you just have explosion in credit cards and whatnot. Even if you're savvy about money and how to save it automatically and watch what you're spending like a hawk, you may come in and admit you have no clue about investing. And there are plenty of you out there that think you know about investing, but after talking to you more in depth, it becomes apparent that many of your neighbors who brag at the neighborhood block party are full of you-know-what. So you have to be careful on that side of it. I was at a meeting the other day with a couple of friends and people I trusted who wanted me to check out this insurance executive who was training some benefits professional in the areas concerning key man insurance, which helps companies ensure that the risk of losing a key individual in the company, and it doesn't have to be a man, it can be a woman, it doesn't matter what the gender is, but that's the historic name of the insurance. The insurance guy was going on about how he used to do investments. It was taking up too much of his time. He decided to get back to the basics with insurance. I made a joke. It's hard to read those 10Ks and 10Qs. And he looked at me like, what the heck are you talking about? And at that point, I just winked at one of my buddies who knew, and I knew, that he was full of you-know-what. Because he had done a little bit of investing, But really, 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 that wasn't his forte. Because if you do it and you love it, you never give it up and never stop doing it. But he moved over to the insurance side. And a lot of the insurance guys try to do investment. And then they realize, a lot of CPAs try to do it. And they realize it's very, very difficult. We have a call coming in from Kelly in Ledyard. Hello there, Kelly.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good, good. You have a question for us?
Yes, please. Let's see. Number one, I am clueless about investing.
Well, you're halfway there because you admit it.
I'm happy to admit it, yes.
Okay.
It feel like it's intimidating.
It is.
Or seem like it's intimidating. And I was just wondering if you could give me a suggestion on where to begin, a book to read or something like that. Something simple and easy for the lay people.
Is the question about what to do with money you've already saved, or is the question to do with how do you save the money in the first place?
I guess I'm talking more about investing in the right funds.
Okay.
I like to save money.
Okay.
What to put it into, and I listen a lot to Dave Ramsey too. How to learn about the market, I guess.
How to learn about the market and whatnot. You know what I would do if I was you?
Yeah.
You go on the web, right? You go on Google and the websites, right? You have access to a computer, right?
Well, I can go to the library. We actually don't have internet at the house.
Okay.
We don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, that's good. When you go to the library, go on the internet and go to CNBC.com.
CNBC.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what CNBC.com, they do a very good job at is they give you all the topical stuff that's going on. But as you scroll down, they get into the investing side.
Okay.
And they keep it very basic, but at the same time, it's timely. And they talk about retirement and where to put your money now. There's a lot of different articles on what's going on now in the markets.
Uh-huh.
And the way to learn about the markets and the way to learn about investing is just go to a site like that that's pretty thorough and kept up to date. You know, they probably have dozens and dozens of people feeding them in every day. But they keep it nice and light. So if there's something you're not interested in, you just keep scrolling down until you find something that strikes your interest. Okay? And then you're going to have questions. And write down the questions on a pad next to the computer. And then just give me a ring, and we'll go through the questions, and you get up to speed that way.
Okay, great.
All right.
Great.
I think that's the best way to do it. Reading a book is fine, but I think the better way to do it is actually dive in and start getting up to speed on what's going on right now.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Kelly.
And
one other question.
Sure.
I'm a single with no children. Do I need life insurance?
How old are you?
43.
If something happens to you, is anybody dependent on you for
no, sir.
Income? And you have adequate savings put away?
Well, that's the thing. I don't make a lot of money. I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
He has a good income.
Yep.
And we just started the baby steps. Number one, and now we're on to number two.
Oh, good, good, good. I would say initially, quick answer, no.
No.
Life insurance is for people that would need your income if something happened to you.
Okay, yeah. Because, you know, I hear Dave Ramsey saying, you know, you need life insurance, but I think I get the impression he's talking about families.
Yeah, especially with minor children. If there's minor children, you need to have term life insurance. But, hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, great. Thanks for the time, and
You're welcome.
A great day.
You too, Kelly. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was good. It was some real live questions. I felt like I was back at work. If you'd like to my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com or email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com, or you can call me at 860-415-9614. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks. Back, Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com. And thank you for listening to us on 94.9 News Now. Our phone number here is 860-464-9490. If you have any retirement, life, or investing questions. And I want to go back to Kelly again. On CNBC.com, if you go to their site, they do a very good job, and there's an article this week, and actually I just found it, and I went, well, talk about timely. How much money Americans have in their 401ks at every age? Contributing to an employer-sponsored 401k is an effective way to save for retirement. You get significant tax savings. The money's automatically taken from your paycheck, and you have a chance to, before you have a chance to spend it, and often companies do a match, which is friendly free money to you. Consistent contributions can even make you a millionaire. In fact, the number of Fidelity 401k accounts with a balance of 1 million or more recently hit a record of 168,000. That's absolutely remarkable. Up 41% from last year. Well, that's what a good market will do, right? To give you an idea of how much your retirement savings stack up against your peers, check out the average 401k balances at Fidelity accounts. Now, Fidelity's the dominating force in this market, okay? Most of the Fortune 500 have them. And they do a very, very good job on the 401k front. In the second quarter of 2008, broken down by age, the data was provided by CNBC, by Fidelity, the largest retirement plan provider. From ages 20 to 29, the average balance is $11,500, okay? From ages 30 to 39, the average balance is $42,700. From 40 to 49, the average balance is $103,500. From 50 to 59, the average balance is $174,200. And from 60 to 69, the average balance is $192,800. Okay. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the balances are. From 20 to 29, 11.5, to 42.7 in your 30s, to 103.5 in your 40s, to 174 in your 50s, and then to 190, close to 193 in your 60s. The average 401k contribution rates, how much you're putting away by age. In your 20s, the average rate is 6.8. In your 30s, the average rate is 7.6. In your 40s, the average rate is 8.4. In your 50s, your average rate is 10%. And in your 60s, the average rate is 11.1%. So as you get older, you tend to start thinking more and more about retirement. Some of you play catch up after playing for college and paying down your house. So the rate goes from 6.8 to 7.6 to 8.4 to 10%. 11.1. What it doesn't say here is if this is just your contribution or the matches included in that. It doesn't say that here. And then the other part of the article talks about the answer to this highly personal question about how much should I be saving. Most people feel you should be setting away 10% of your income as soon as possible. So the quicker you can get to 10%, and then a lot of people say ideally it should be 20% of your income if you want to do it. So, and they define adequate retirement income, which is 70% of your earnings throughout your working life. And then, you know, once again, formulas, who knows. At age 30, you should have an equivalent of your starting salary saved. So if the average person has 11.2, they haven't done that. By 35, 2 times your salary. And by 67, you have 10 times your salary. So, you know, once again, throw these numbers out for what you think they are. But what if you don't have a 401k? then you need to get your Roth or your regular SEP IRA going if you're self-employed. I use a SEP IRA because I can put up to $42,000 a year away in a SEP because I'm self-employed. And I think it's absolutely wonderful because it's better than paying tax on that money, that's for sure. So just an interesting article. You know, Fidelity does a very good job on the 401k side, so you got to respect them for that. And when they come out with these numbers, it's good to know what your neighbors or what your fellow citizens are up to and give you an idea where you might stand. But some people tell me they're going to work till they're 80, and they don't really care about that. So it all depends on your personal thing. You know, it's okay to be clueless about investing. Most people in the business are so you regular folks out there, you can get your license and come sell some product like a lot of people. There's one financial company out there that runs seminars on how to sell insurance and get rich, knowing that if you get your license and sell insurance to all your friends, you can still have only about a 10% chance of making it in the business. And by the way, you pay for all your courses. The company plays the game, heads I win, tails you lose. Of course, the regional guy that recruited you gets to keep all your clients after you move on, by design, I might add. So there are companies out there that actually recruit you to sell insurance and whatnot. We won't mention any names. So if your newly licensed buddy starts to try to sell you term whole life insurance, be diplomatic, but probably not the best idea in the world to buy it from them because whatnot. Most people are clueless about investing, but it's okay. I'm clueless about many things and seek help from people I trust, like and respect. I realize that no one can know everything. When I have a real estate question, I go to Tim. Medicare supplemental, I go to Stephen. A tax question, I go to Peter, etc., on and on. My clients are better off if I can leverage the knowledge of others within my circle, which is always growing and evolving. Nonprofit people, senior lifestyle, task helper. I'm meeting people all the time that have specialized businesses that can help supplement some of my client needs. I even have a job recruiter on speed dial. Remember speed dial? You know what speed dial is? Yeah, okay. I'm just checking if I'm talking old-fashioned or not. I saw a local ad in the local paper using a Social Security seminar with no additional information. Is it a seminar to get your info to sell you an annuity? Product pushers love seminars. Many times the companies that provide the seminars pay the cost of the free lunch or dinner. And you know the expression, no such thing as a free lunch, never truer than in their case. The one question I get a lot is it too late to invest in the market? Well, it depends on your situation or what markets are you talking about. I always ask to see your statements and fill out my input form on www.obrienretire.com. Some people need to take more risks, but there's an intelligent way to do it depending on your age and risk level that we decide that you should be able to take. For example, many of you own mutual funds in your 401k. Many of you own these things called target funds, which now are approaching $1 trillion. And most people, you know, what's a target fund? And we'll talk about that. Well, let's talk about it now. A target fund presents asset allocation, stocks, bonds, cash, and maybe there's a couple other allocations in there, which as you're younger, the stock portion could be 80, 90%. And as you get older, the target fund will automatically rebalance you. So when you're in your 60s, the stock portion may only be 30, 40%. So it rebalances automatic, and you don't have to do anything. It's just on automatic pilot as you get older. Okay? So are these good investments? I think they're only good when you're young because the target fund, you don't know anything yet. You're just starting out in life. You haven't had a chance to learn about investing or hook up with someone that does know what they're doing. So when you're young, these target funds in many of these 401ks will keep you heavily in stocks. But I think once you get to 40, you really, really, really need to take a hands-on approach and get away from the target thing. Because there'll be times, to be honest with you, when the markets are extremely undervalued or overvalued. I'll guarantee you one thing in life. I can never guarantee you return. I can never guarantee you anything in life except one thing. Every 10 or 15 years, we'll have an extreme melt-up or meltdown, okay? And if you see those things approaching, you can react and custom tailor your allocations based on market conditions also. Target funds will never adjust your allocations based on market conditions. That's their greatest strength when you're young. And that's their greatest weakness when you're older. Okay? So you have to be aware that if you're going to be captain of your own ship and you've got all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars now sitting in that 401k, that once you get to 40, 45 years old, you're going to have to be the captain here and manage your allocations a little more differently than what you would do with a target fund that'll do it automatically for you. Because what if you have a big meltdown? We saw it coming. You called me. We cut our allocations to risk. And the meltdown happens. And, boy, I'm starting to go, okay, let's start, you know, getting back in. And things look beautiful now. And you're 62 years old or 52 years old. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what the target fund has you at 35%. If we have a meltdown and I want to get back in, I don't care how old you are, okay? I want to get back in. So you need to be able to take it over. It's like having the car on automatic pilot or, I don't know, whatever. You know, it's sometimes you got to take the wheel and actually drive it yourself. So just keep that in mind and whatnot. If you're older and keeping money in the bank, it's a different story. I would probably buy more income investments mixed in with timely ETFs and industries, in my view, will outperform the broader indexes, if I'm correct. I may even mix in a couple of high-grade stocks to give you a little more growth potential. So it's very flexible, you know. I mean, if you're 80 years old, I'm not going to buy you a portfolio of individual stocks, okay? But at the same time, I am gonna look to raise your income more aggressively than most. And I'm not going to do the cookie cutter approach with you because it's just not the way to go, not the way I operate. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com. If you'd like a free consultation or complimentary, I'm supposed to say, please give me a call or email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com during the week. And I'm more happy to sit down and see where you're at. Bring your statements and fill out my input form on obrienretire.com. Talk to you in a few minutes. Thanks. O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement, host of the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94 Now News Now. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. We are talking about retirement, life, and investing this morning. Hope everybody's doing well. In my 38 years, the biggest change I have seen in the business is longevity. I cannot believe the numbers I am seeing in terms of how long people are living these days and living well. Back in the day, I used to run numbers back to 75, and then I went to 80, 85. Now I'm running numbers, projections to 95 years old. It's absolutely incredible. A nurse I know says that it comes down to much better nutrition. For most part, medicine, safety at work, surgeries, I think all have helped, I suspect also. But because of this, portfolios need to have what I call a more aggressive income strategies than just leaving the money at the bank to help cope with taxes, inflation, and increased medical costs. A nice lady came in my office the other day and said that her teeth are killing her. And I said, well, why don't you go to the dentist? She goes, no, you misunderstand. My teeth are killing me financially. She goes, I put $20,000 into this mouth, and I'm 81 years old. She goes, I'm going to live another 20 years. I go, well, that means they're a good investment. And we both laughed, you know. But, let's face it, Medicare doesn't cover dental. So you got to have that money put away for dental and a lot of other things. So you're going to need income to do this. So I think you have to use a little more aggressive income strategies to help cope with this taxes, inflation, and these medical costs. It's a lot of work for me to keep up with this stuff and manage these portfolios. You know, the work starts when you open the account and we start, you know, putting the portfolio together and managing it and keeping an eye on it. Unlike product pushers where once you sign on the dotted line, their work is done and they've moved on to the next quote-unquote opportunity for them, not for you. So just be aware of that approach and how different it is. You know, when I started the company, I made a promise to the big guy up above that whoever came to me would receive my help, whether they had $100 or $100 million. I've stayed true to that promise because I firmly believe in helping everyone. That is why the Automatic Millionaire book by David Bach is so important to read if you want to start getting the tools to get rich slowly but methodically. David preaches saving automatically. So on a 401k, you put it in, you never see the money. You can do it out of the 401k also with your auto. You can save automatically at home by automatically putting money away automatically before you spend it. If it's not in your checking account, you won't spend it, is the theory. And it works, and it works very, very well. One of the financial channels had an ad on, and this is classic. I saw the ad. I saw the thing, dark pool. I saw this alluring young woman sitting on a couch, all dressed to the nines with a big folder in her hands. I said, oh, what's this? And I turn up the sound on one of the financial channels. An ad on about a younger lady who was offering a book, course, whatever, on how to get rich by watching the market and seeing what the large institutions were doing trading privately in institutional dark pools. Dark pools. I mean, right? Just the name, right? What's going on? You see all those ads for the dark web. Oh, whoa, it sounds evil. Game of Thrones, over the wall. You know, all that stuff. So she held up a thick folder at the end of the ad showing that she could prove her trading successful studying their behavior. I was laughing so hard at the commercial because the big firms would never share their trading data with anybody. And if she had developed a better mousetrap, the last thing she would do would be is to share it or to sell it. But the people out there, the quick rabbits out there, you know, the people looking for that quick gain, you know, the people looking out there for the quick money, and you know that sounds too good to be true, it definitely is. It's definitely a scam. Be careful. Yes, there are dark pools. There are private trading pools, the big firms set up. So if one of the big mutual funds and a big pension fund and they want to sell, they can cross it without going to the exchange. That's true, and everybody knows that. And eventually that data does get reported. But to say that you have an inside edge and you can generate trading profits from what they're doing is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. And the best scams always have a little bit of truth to them, you know? So she had a little bit of truth that, yes, they do have private pools that they do trade between off the exchanges. That's true. And the big firms are involved in that. And the institutions do it. But for her to claim that she had an insight to track to that and could generate you profit, and by the way, how much was it, and blah, blah, blah. It, you know, these are scams that people fall for them all the time. Because if you don't save automatically, then you're behind. If you haven't put money in your 401k like those numbers I was talking about, you feel like you're behind, so you feel like you got to catch up, so you feel like you got to do something radical, and then this lady comes along with something that just looks so unbelievably wonderful, and if it costs $100 or $1,000 or $5,000, whatever the cost of it was, I didn't wait around long enough to find out, then you may grab from it. Where if you do things methodically with a planning approach and automatically save, when you see these things come along, you'll go, "Oh, that's a scam." Okay, so let's talk about your kids and grandkids. You know, I've developed some rules or commandments to help them too. Unlike the retirement 10 commandments, these will be read here to help you now. I'll warn you that these are hard ass and sound tough, but if you want to live careful now, so you can live much better later, then follow these. So, starting off, these are the rules that the kids and your grandkids should follow, okay? And I read them off briefly last week, but I want to just spend a little more time on them, okay? And this goes against everything that you see in terms of ads and everything else on TV and whatnot. Number one, no student loan debt. I don't care. Find a way to get it done without student loan debt. Go to Avery Point, work at the casinos, bus and tables, do whatever you got to do. No debt. And if you get 4-0, some college will pay your other 2 years off if you want to transfer out. You can figure out a way to do it. But don't have any student loan debt when you're done. And I don't care what Jenny or Jimmy or everybody's at high school. is going there or here and is going to have 80, 100 grand in debt. They're way behind. Don't do it. No student loan debt. Now, a lot of people argue with me on that, but you've been brainwashed. Don't do it. Number two, no credit cards. When your kids are 18, grandkids are 18, they're going to start sending them cards. Warn them ahead of time. No credit card debt. Okay? You want to get one of these little cards just to create a credit credit file on them, you know. Eventually they can do that, but no credit cards early on. No auto loans. Pay cash. Want to buy a car? Save your money. Go out. You can buy a nice car for $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. That'll run for 10 years if you take care of it. Do not buy a new car when you get your first new job, when you still have student loan debt and you got $6,000 on that Mexican Cancun vacation that you didn't pay for. And believe me, I'm talking from live case. Okay, they come in. I'm like, what are you thinking? And you would advise me not to do that? I go, yeah, I probably would have yelled at you, but you've already done it. So let's get you out of this pickle. So obviously, a lot of that's going on. Number four, start saving automatically. Automatically. Don't send me money after you paid all your bills. I want it automatically coming in. ACH it to me automatically on the first. $500, $300, whatever it is. Send it in automatically. Because if you do that, then we're not subject to your spending habits and whatnot. If you buy a home, get a 15-year mortgage. You can get a 30-year and prepay it. But if you get a 15-year, it's a lot more conservative. And when you're in your early 40s, the house will be paid for. And be way ahead of a lot of other people just buying their first house. Here's number six, and this came from my buddy Tim, who's a very smart guy. If you buy a house, make sure you leave $400 a month, and it can vary depending on the price of the house, for home improvements. Because after the home purchase, 1 to 1.5% of the home value, so $300,000, say $3,000 to $4,000 a year, you're going to have to put away, reserve for home improvements. Trust, you will need it. Number seven, after the baby is born, open an account for them in your name and start buying great companies. I'm not a fan of 529s. I think they limit your credit choices. I know you get the deferment. I get it. But you're far better off leaving the money in your name and buying great companies because, number one, you put money in the kid's name in the 529. For student aid, it's a lot different. And most aid is debt, by the way. There's no real student aid or grants anymore. They price cut, but they can call it whatever they want. And number eight, don't assume your baby's college bound, so leave your options open. Maybe your baby's going to do something else. Maybe your baby is an academic. It's okay. Number nine, learning is lifelong, so teach your kids the ability to learn is much more important than the actual subject matter at the time. So most people don't get this about college. It's not about the subject matter for the most part. Pre-med, I get it. Pre-law, I get it. Engineering, I get it. But most cases, it's the ability to learn and become a lifelong learner. Okay? And then the most important decision they make, more important than all the others, is who they marry and tell them you want grandchildren. Any case, we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Dennis O'Brien from O'BrienRetire.com. And if you like my Retirement 10 Commandments or fret up a free consultation, please go to my website and hit the button. Talk to you in a few. Thank you. Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut, exit 90, right up from Steak Loft in the Taylor Realty Building. Hope everybody's doing well today. I think I see the sun coming out. Yay! Everybody get out there and have a good time. There's a garlic festival tonight, today in Old Mystic Village, so go on over there and check out the garlic. You know, today I just wanted to give my respects to the family of Ben Duvall, who recently passed. Ben was a host on a show here. Used to be on before I took over the 10 o'clock hour. And Ben was a good guy, and he always told me how much he loved his kids and hoped their lives would be as full and rewarding as his. Ben was very active in the John McCain campaign. I think he was state coordinator at the time, and I used to see him at the dog watch barbecue all the time at the bar. And to his family and friends, I offer my sincere condolences and whatnot. Also, I want to give my condolences to a longtime friend, Mike Brennan, in New Hampshire, who passed away last month too early. Mike was from Connecticut. He had moved to New Hampshire 30 years ago. His father-in-law, Len Cousin, and Teresa, they were up in Danielson, wonderful people. His father-in-law was a former state trooper who's been gone for a number of years. Mike passed away last month. He left behind a wonderful family. And one of the most successful vending companies in New England that his son now runs along with his wife, Carol. Mike, you believed in me when I was a young man in my 20s, when I came around looking to handle your family's accounts and do some planning. And I never forgot how wonderful and nice you guys were to me when I was young and starting out. And I talked to Carol the other day, and they're doing well. But she, as she said, it you know it hasn't really hit her yet. And I told her about a year from now you'll really feel it. But and the holidays too. But in any case, my condolences to the Brennan family. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful people, and whatnot. My friend Mike. Mike's a really smart guy. Does a lot of baseball statistics and everything else. I don't know where he finds the time. But he told me that anybody who's done an Ancestry DNA test, and a lot of you out there have done them or thinking of doing them, Ancestry, Mike says Ancestry just redid their data because the technological improvements going on. So whatever test results you got from Ancestry in the last few years, go back to your, go back to the site and sign on and look, because I think you'll find that in some cases dramatically different results with the same test because of the technological improvements. Some of the swings have been more than 20% in terms of your ethnic background. I was going to say the word ethnicity, but I just I'm word challenged this morning. But I thought it very, very interesting. So if you have an Ancestry site, go back on and check it out. You won't, you'll probably be surprised, happily or not happy. I don't have no idea, but you might be surprised either way. And I also wanted to mention that in the recent past, I've met both. I met Ned Lamont probably about 10 years ago at his sister's house in Stonington. And he's a very cordial man, very kind. And I was thinking, after my wife said, "What'd you think?" I said, "I think he's too nice for politics. You know, he's got a refinement about him, but normally you don't see in the political arena and whatnot." Whether you disagree or agree with his policies, I always like to get a sense of the man himself and stuff like that. More recently, I met Bob Stefanowski, who walked up to me at the radio station party. And he saw my O'Brien retirement. He goes, "Oh, you have a local business," and we got chatting and everything else. And I know he had been with UBS. And my impression of him was he's very sharp and, more importantly, very determined individual who I would not underestimate. And I think a lot of people out there are underestimating him. He is not Foley. This guy, I met Foley when he was running. He came down to that bar in Groton. I forget the name of it. And I said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I just wish I was home, back home at dinner," or something like that. And I just went, "You're the candidate? You're giving off this vibe?" I knew at the time. I said, "This guy's going to lose. He's giving off the worst vibe." Stefanowski couldn't have been any more different. There was a determination I would not underestimate. He has a way of overcoming odds with a well-planned approach. I think it's going to be a very interesting November. So I wouldn't underestimate either gentleman. And I'm kind of looking forward to this election to see what happens and how Connecticut swings. Usually it comes down to the seniors because they turn out, but I think the millennials are going to determine this election. And the millennials, if they're buying houses, looking at their tax bills, may want to change. I do not know. I do not have a clue on that. So, you know, it's like anything else. A good attitude's the foundation of a wonderful life. It's the rocket that can take you into outer space. Karen Etchell, she wrote this little nugget for me, and I love it. But it's gratitude that's the rocket fuel. It's something that's already amazing and propels you to unknown heights. So I like to consider family implications as a senior member age. Beware the warning signs of cognitive decline and diminished financial capacity. Anytime I have a senior that starts repeating what I've said to him or her, and I get a little concerned, I like to bring a family member in, usually a son or daughter, and say, well, you know, I'd like to have you, you know, start to think about getting power of attorney or getting your name added to these accounts, because it's hard to see. Sometimes they'll feel, I had a neighbor, he's still with us, but, you know, I talked to him, and he was like, hey, how are you? He was always the friendliest, nicest man or anything else. And it took about 10 minutes of conversation before I picked up on the fact that he didn't have a clue what I had said. And we had the same conversation 10 minutes later that we had just had. And I went, OMG, he has, you know, cognitive issues and whatnot. And I later confirmed it with his wife. And, you know, and obviously one night he... one day he took off, dropped his wife off at the doctor, supposed to come follow her in, should have never been driving. He walked in, went to the nurse, asked for his sister who's been predeceased 20 years. Nurse said, I never heard of that person. The nurse did not connect him with his wife who had just checked in, and he took off for the next 5 hours and nobody could find him. Okay? So my son, Beau, and I figured out, well, he went to St. Joseph's in New London. He's from that neighborhood. He had lived for many, many years. Let's go over there and see if he's driving around. And apparently we were right. He was driving around that whole neighborhood for hours. And we missed him by 5 minutes, and he made it back home to Mystic. He walked into the house. Now, Groton Town cops are there. His neighbors are there. His daughters are there. Son-in-laws. His wife. He walks into the house. And he's always been the most cheerful guy in the world. I always love this about him, you know. And he walked in the house. He goes, hey, everybody, is there a party going on? And his wife was like, his wife looked at him and goes, I am going to wring your neck. Do you know how worried I was about you? Now, he had dropped her off at 2 in the afternoon. And this was 8 o'clock at night. And he had been AWOL for hours. And Beau and I were in New London driving around the St. Joseph's Church neighborhood off Montauk Avenue looking for him, and apparently we had just missed him because he had been over there. So like anything, you know, if you see that cognitive decline, if when I see it, it's imperative that we try to get a relative involved as soon as we can. On all new accounts, if you're over 65, it's mandated that we ask you for an interested party that we can talk to if you have problems remembering stuff, okay? And if you choose not to give us an interested party and you're over 65, you have to sign off and initial that, both you and your spouse, if it's a joint account. So we take it very, very seriously now. This is a big thing in the industry. A lot of people are getting older, and due to medical and nutrition, their bodies are good. And my neighbor, his body is, he's fine. What can I push? You know, they bring these new trash cans now to Groton. They're huge. You can put a body in them. Put a whole family in. They're unbelievable. And he's pushing it up the hill like it's nothing. And so, you know, physically he's fine, but, you know, memory-wise, cognitive, he'll talk you and yes you to death and smile away at you. Doesn't have a clue what you're saying to him, you know, or doesn't remember. So it's just one of those things where we have to be very, very aware of it and try to help. It's an awkward thing, but it's getting better and better now with these new policies in place. And remember, if you choose to roll over your retirement funds when you leave your job, it might be tempting to ask the company to send a check, but it'll cost you in taxes and penalties. In most cases, you can leave an old 401k alone for as long as you want, or it'll remain with the brokerage firm or the mutual fund company that administers your account. However, if your former company kicks you out of the plan, you need a new home for your funds. So sometimes, especially on the smaller accounts, they want to get rid of you. So and if you sign off, they'll just send you a check and you get hit. So bear in mind, if you've got these old 401ks laying around, you can combine them all into an IRA and roll them in, have them all in one place. And I think my record is 9 old 401ks I've rolled into an IRA. I'd like to beat that record. So if anybody's out there who's had 12 different jobs, wants to get organized, come on in and let's see what we can do for you. It's a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but it's sure, I think you're far better off. Who the heck is going to pay attention to 12 accounts? I don't care what you say. I would have a hard time tracking 12 of my own accounts. Consolidate everything, guys, please. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope everybody has any questions. If you'd like to come in and just shoot it, come on in and give me a ring during the week at 860-415-9614. Email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com or go to my website, obryanretire.com, ask for my retirement 10 commandments, and then we can chat and set up a meeting whenever you're willing, ready, and able. Anyway, my name is Dennis O'Brien. I hope you guys have a great week, and give everybody a hug for me. Take care now. Bye-bye.